Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. I guess I have upset the bee community, the bee lobby, or the bee, whatever they are, with my lack of caring about bees versus mosquitoes. But if you want to somehow join the fray here, 251-343-0106 is the text line. Joining us now on the line, and we hear from him every other Monday. We had to move some stuff around, but I'm always appreciative of State Representative Shane Stringer coming on and making time for us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, we'll start here, Representative. Well, this really got kicked off last week a little bit more. Your colleague Wanda Lynn Gavan kind of surprised a lot of people when she said she liked this Reed Ingram proposal to do some kind of, I would say it's a straight-up state takeover, but it's where the state would come in and appoint a police chief and get some of these beleaguered police departments back in order. So, and I think Birmingham and Montgomery are the two biggies. Probably, I don't think they would Selma, Pritchard, Bessemer. There's some other places where the police protection leaves a lot to be desired. You said you're kind of open to the idea, I think, when we last talked about it, but the reaction to it's been sort of mixed. I mean, like, now that you've had a few weeks to hear or think about it, what do you make of it?
Well, you know, like I've told you before, one of the things I'm seeing is you've got mayors across the state, not just around here in other states, that are making appointments to their top positions, whether it be the police chief, fire chief, chief of staff, different positions. They're making those positions based on friendships, and instead of putting the right people in those places that can run the departments and run them effective and efficiently, and instead they're being put in there because of their affiliations or something. And I think that's problematic. And, you know, I think the more you see that, the more likely you're going to have to do something like Reed's looking at in trying to come in there and maybe take over appoint a chief and an administration to help that chief accomplish the goals. You know, I don't think the state's in the business of wanting to run the police departments across the state, but I also think that the citizens in those areas deserve adequate protection, you know, and taking care of them.
It sounds like the governor's really on board or kind of interested in this proposal, but what it tells me is just people aren't finding the answers they are seeking, they desire, from municipal government. Now, Senator Orr was on my friend Dale Jackson's show. He's like, well, look, you don't like the way the city's handling your police protection, did elect a new mayor. You just reelected a year ago Stephen Reed. But such as it is, I mean, how much of it do you think is just, hey, elections have consequences?
And I agree with that. You know, that's one of the things I've said all along is that, you know, if the people would hold the elected officials accountable for the people they hire and the actions that are taking place, then you would see some differences being done. You know, like I've told you before, there's got to be consequences to some of these actions. I mean, we have got to hire the right people. And if the current mayor of a city is not able to accomplish those goals, then it might be time for the citizens to replace them. I don't think it's all the responsibility of the state, you know, to have to come in and clean up and fix their problems. You know, you've got departments we've seen year after year after year, no matter what administration, they just seem to struggle and have problems. So I think, you know, we've got to come up with some solutions, but also think that we need to force the hand of the cities to do their job and to do what's right before we take that step.
Well, and I want to talk about Montgomery, and I hear this from your colleagues, but Representative, I mean, like, you and I are talking off air. Even in the, so you've been going there since 2019 on a regular basis. I mean, the city seems to be in a decline ever since the Reed administration took over. But look, the people of Montgomery could vote it, and they could do whatever they want, but state government still got to function. And when we saw the RSA buildings up there with the bullet holes in the windows, and, I mean, if it doesn't feel safe, if you can't function state government, then maybe there is justification for something.
Yeah, you know, and I stay two blocks from the state house, you know, in an Airbnb, and it's not uncommon for me to be getting out of my car, walking in or walking out or, you know, something like that, to hear gunshots really close to the state house and into where I'm staying. So that's not uncommon. You know, I don't know, you know, if the citizens need to consider maybe a recall vote or something on some of the mayors if they're not able to do that, because the number one primary function of local government and in any government is the safety of its citizens. And if they're not meeting that goal, then they've got their balance off in how they're handling things, and they really need to look at it. Montgomery's just, they've got some problems, and I'm not sure, you know, I'm not involved in it to be able to say exactly what it is, but they've got problems.
But I mean, if you guys don't feel safe, I mean, it's sort of Washington DC for a time, and then Washington DC is kind of heading back in that direction. But like, if you have lawmakers getting mugged, state senators getting robbed on the streets there, that's going to, I would think, you, even if not even based on like looking at this from a, you know, is this a good use of government standpoint? I mean, there's going to be an emotional response to that.
Yeah. You know, my thing is, whether it be a legislator or a citizen, ain't no different, man. We don't deserve any more protection than anybody else, you know, and I've been a law enforcement my whole life, and, you know, I stand up for the people and I put myself in danger for people. So, I would much rather the citizens be safe before me, but still, we all deserve safety and security. And that's the primary function of our government, and whether it be on a local, state, or a federal level. And, you know, it's kind of like, I guess kicking the problem down the road or passing the buck along to the state government is not exactly the first option or best option. I think that we should hold the locals accountable, and, you know, as long as they're doing within their means. Now, there are cities that struggle financially, and, you know, in those scenarios, they may want to look at dissolving if it's more than they can handle. But there's got to be options out there other than just, you know, putting the burden on the state or, you know, on a Leah.
Or what about these county sheriffs? And you know, I mean, they got a different, it's sort of a different sort of scenario. You elect them directly. They're not accountable necessarily to like a mayor or whatever, but they seem to be at least having to handle some of this burden around the state.
Yeah, they really are, you know, and that's luckily our state has got a lot of good sheriffs that's willing to step in and help out other agencies that are struggling or having something. But, you know, it ain't their burden either. You know, I think we've got to come up with a way to hold even the sheriff's departments that are not able to do their job. We've got to come up with a way to tackle that and address that. I mean, the citizens of every county, every city throughout the state deserve, you know, protecting and the service that we offer.
Well, and kind of talking about that, the sheriffs, as you probably well remember, the constitutional carry bill, and they were against it. But are you surprised to see the way some of these people, particularly the left, some of the mayors, but also some of the so-called talking heads, blame your bill for this?
I'm not surprised at all. You know, people always trying to push the burden off or blame off on somebody else other than taking responsibility and ownership and meeting that. I mean, we've shown right there in Mobile, Alabama, where since Constitution Carry has passed, the crime has been the lowest it's been since 19, I think they said 84 or 94. But, I mean, the lowest it's been in 33 years. So, that tells you right there that, that the law-abiding gun owners are absolutely not the problem. You know, we've got to address the criminal element and the thugs that are running our communities. I mean, I, as a law enforcement officer, try to harass them and make it hard on them as much as they do our good citizens. I'm not going to sit back and let them take advantage of our citizens or our communities to increase their crime and their profits.
We're joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Something else, some pre-filed bills, but one by one of your colleagues, one of your Democrat colleagues, and an assault weapon permitting, and they kind of defines see, Representative Hassel Montgomery says he wants to require a permit as a assault weapon, which he says is an automatic rifle with the capacity to accept detachable magazines and possess at least one of six attributes, among them being a folding stock or secondhand grip, and he goes through a bunch of scenarios here. I mean, I don't foresee this seeing the light of day, but you see proposals like this. What do you think?
I'll fight it tooth and nail. I'll fight it with everything I've got until they, unless they change the Constitution. I'm going with the Constitution, and the Constitution don't say nothing about having to get a permit or register your gun, regardless to whether it's a pistol or whether it's a assault weapon or a hunt rifle. I'll do everything I can to stop that kind of legislation. I don't agree with it, and I, you know, we see it coming from just about every Democrat and every facet. I mean, it's just, to me, it's somewhere, somehow they have forgot or either have not read the Constitution.
Well, and it's this too, right? It's such as Democrats, it's Republicans, but you know, I guess these guys are just looking for solutions or looking for something. You never hear this, Representative. You never hear these guys talk about, why don't we just repeal the Second Amendment, make gun ownership a privilege in this country and not a right? Because until you can maneuver the Second Amendment and whatever these fixes are don't really jibe with the Second Amendment, I mean, that's the issue. They never go anywhere.
Absolutely. That's the problem, is the legislators that have enough sense to listen to their constituents and follow the Constitution are going to do what's right. The ones that want to do, you know, try to find shortcuts to solutions are going to try to circumvent the Constitution and do that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, elected officials need to start listening to their constituents. We are elected by them to represent them in our offices, whether it's in Montgomery or D.C. or wherever. And I personally just don't think that there's enough that's listening to their constituents. You know, the elected sheriffs, whenever we went through the constitutional carry, I reminded a bunch of them. I'm like, you need to go back and listen to your constituents, because we were polling 70%+ every single time we polled the Constitution carry legislation. And even I even had some of the sheriffs that say, well, but they don't know what's best for them. And I'm like, well, that's a typical big government answer. You know, regardless, we have got to listen to our constituents and what they want.
Well, I are you surprised to see this? It's just, this is, and there's, it's this, these laws that you guys pass in the legislature apply to the entire state, but we're just seeing these pockets of places where they're having a real struggle right now with law enforcement, and you're being scapegoated here. Like you're being, particularly the constitutional carry bill, but some other things as well, and they're just, this seems to be the default mechanism that we're going to go after guns and firearms, and I don't know that that's because you're in a red state in Alabama. Is that really even a solution worth discussing? Because we know where this is headed. It would be just like any other liberal policy that this is a waste of time.
Yeah, you've seen in blue states and blue counties across our state where they try to go in there. They don't put a priority on their law enforcement. They try to defund the law enforcement. They do things to cut their law enforcement. They don't support their law enforcement. You lose the morale in your departments. It's hard enough to recruit, retain, and hire new officers as it is. And then if you get the reputation of not supporting your law enforcement and, you know, not being there for them, then that makes it even harder. So this is a complex problem. And, you know, I've said this before. There's a lot of issues related to this. It's, you know, from social issues to home raising and issues to the economy. I mean, there's just lots of issues that play into this. In Mobile County, we have a lot of industry, high-paying industry at that, that are, you know, came in, and it's awesome for our area, but they're also hiring up a lot of the good candidates that we would normally have as law enforcement officers. So that's taken from the hiring pool. There's just lots of problems that relate to this and to the crime and the issues. I mean, you got jail overcrowding. You got judges that use the jail overcrowding to not do something. So I think that, you know, it's a complex problem that's going to take a lot of wise people to put some answers to. I mean, first and foremost, we have got to build more prisons. We've got to come up with a way to be able to do that and afford to do that to put these prisoners somewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right, but that's going to be another fight in the future. I guess we'll have to talk more about that later. Representative, we got to cut it short here, but I appreciate you making time for us, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jeff. Y'all have a blessed day.
Shane Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. My first car, I told